Well, good morning, everybody. There's nothing like the wrong passage to get the heart beating quickly. If you can open up your Bibles to James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. I won't read it. We're going to go through it as we go through the passage. But the Bible is wonderful to hear whenever it's spoken. So thank you, Liz. In 1952, Florence Chadwick, aged 34, waded into the water off Catalina Island and began her 21-mile swim towards California. If she completed her journey, she would be the first woman ever to accomplish this feat. She was already the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. But the water was ice cold and the fog was so heavy that Florence could hardly see the boats in her own party. But the constant numbing cold of the water was her toughest problem. 15 hours after she began, she asked to be taken out because she was cold and exhausted. Her mother and trainer in the boat told her that they were near land. They couldn't see it, but they knew they must be close. They encouraged her not to quit. But as she looked ahead, all she could see was the dense fog. So she gave up. When they pulled her out, they discovered that she was only half a mile from the California coast. Later, she spoke to a reporter and said, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I might have made it." 2 months later, she successfully completed the swim because she could see the land. And a bit like Florence, if we were able to see the future, the way we lived our lives would be different. But the fact is that none of us knows if we will even see tomorrow. We have been looking at the letter of James written to Christians who have been scattered throughout the Mediterranean because of persecution. In their hostile surroundings, they were tempted to hide their faith and act like the world. Sounds a bit familiar. So this letter can have significant meaning for us as we are reminded that a genuine faith transforms lives. So what I want you to think about today is, how should true faith in action look in a Christian's life? How should true faith look in a Christian's life? We are encouraged in the book of James to put our faith into action, because true faith will produce loving actions towards others. And there are 3 points I would like us to consider from the passage to help us to have true faith. Firstly, never ignore God in your plans. Never ignore God in your plans. Verses 13 to 15, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" I don't know what your plans are for the rest of the day. What are your plans for the rest of the week? What are your plans for the rest of the year? Have you started planning your holiday for next year yet? It's good to have plans. We have a saying in teaching, "If you fail to prepare, prepare to fail." It's good to have goals in life, but plans and goals would disappoint us if we leave God out of them. Most people in this world plan their lives as if God doesn't exist. But it's different for Christians, because God is central, or should be, to all we do. One of the most foolish things a person can do in this life is to make plans about the future without involving God. All our plans should be made with the condition from verse 15, "If it is God's will." So we should put God's desires at the center of our planning, because he will never disappoint us. The Christian during James's time were making foolish plans. They said, "We will go, we will buy, and sell. We will stay there a year. James was accusing these people of ignoring God as they made their plans. There is nothing wrong with planning for the future, but never leave God out of the planning process. But we must also never forget that life, as it reminds us in the passage, is short and unexpected things happen. At its best, we have 70 or 80 years. So how could these people know whether or not they would be alive tomorrow, much less next year? It's a foolish mistake on our part to take life for granted. When was the last time you went to a funeral? It's a sobering experience. All our earthly ambitions and plans basically end up in a 6-foot-long wooden box with brass handles. As it says in verse 14, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The wind blows over the mist and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. Do you remember your parents? Do you remember your grandparents and what they did with their lives? How long will it be until you're the last person that remembers them? In 100 years' time, who will remember you? We are all but a mist. But God knows you. God won't forget you. Listen to David in Psalm 39. He says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. And as Christians, that's good news. Our hope is in a God who will not forget us. The good news is that as a Christian, we have eternity to look forward to in heaven. Death for us is not the end. But for any non-Christians here this morning, don't wait for tomorrow to commit to Christ. They say that tomorrow must be the longest day of the week, judging from the number of things we're going to do then. The smartest thing we can do is to make our plans by stating, if it's God's will. If it's God's will. But the temptation is to turn what James is saying into just a platitude. Something that you say to justify what you want to do. Don't do this. Make your plans part of your prayer life and relationship with God. And if God blesses your plans, look to use these blessings for God. Jesus gave us this example in Luke chapter 12. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said this, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there will be a store. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Friends, never ignore God in your plans. Life is short, no matter how many years we live. And there are some lines that you could find etched into the wall of Chester Cathedral. It says, as a child I laughed and wept, and time crept. As a youth, I played and talked, and time walked. As I grew into a man, time ran. Later, as I onward grew, time flew. So now I shall find, when travelling on, time gone. Don't take this life for granted. Don't be deceived into thinking that you have lots of time left to live for Christ, to enjoy your loved ones, or to do what you know you should. Live for God today. Then no matter when your life ends, you will have fulfilled God's plan for you. Secondly, never boast about yourself. In verse 16 it says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Boasting isn't just bad or sad, but evil. Proverbs 27 reminds us, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Boasting is not a Christian attitude, because it is arrogance. When planning as if God doesn't matter, we mistake our own worth. We assume we know and can control the future and make plans that seek only to satisfy our own desires, our own greed. Jesus told his followers, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist of an abundance of possessions. And I think James wants us to hear that same message this morning. Because when we boast, we display pride and arrogance, not humility. Instead, James says we must remain humble and submitted to God. Therefore, boastful words about our tomorrows prove our dependence on a faulty wisdom instead of reliance on God. Sometimes we sing a song, don't we? I don't think I'll sing it. I'm not Andrew Timberlake. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in... But I will boast in...
Jesus
his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. Boasting in life is arrogance and will not make people admire you. They will despise you. They will be jealous, envious, and want to bring you down or simply just avoid you. Boasting as a Christian is worse because it can lead people to believe that God doesn't love them as much as he loves you. And it can undermine their faith. It can cause them to stumble in their faith. It could cause them to fall. But there are ways you can tell people about your life and God's blessing without it sounding boastful. In boasting, we can miss the fact that planning according to the Lord's will and depending upon him is likely to be much more radical than making us more comfortable. It's going to transform we make our plans. It's going to change the way we live our lives and change the plans we make. It will change the way you live and behave compared to the rest of the world. That's why we don't boast. That's why we need to read on to verse 17. That finally, we ought to do good. Verse 17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. At first, it might seem to be unrelated to the rest of the passage, verse 17. Maybe James has just chucked it in as an afterthought. But actually, it's the key to understanding this whole passage. Because if we're trusting in God for our future, letting ourselves be defined by his grace, and if we're seeking his will as we set our priorities and make our plans, we're going to begin to see our lives in a whole new way. We tend to think that doing wrong is a sin. But James tells us that sin is also not doing right. We used to think that doing wrong was a sin, but it's also not doing right is a sin. These two kinds of sin are sometimes called sins of commission and the sins of omission. Because it's a sin to lie. It can also be a sin to know the truth and not tell it. It's a sin to speak evil of someone, but it's also a sin to avoid him or her when you know he or she needs your friendship. We should be willing to help as the Holy Spirit guides us. If God has directed you to do a kind act, to render a service, or to restore a relationship, do it. In doing so, you will experience a renewed and refreshed vitality in your Christian faith when you do. Our goal should be to no longer satisfy our own desires, but to serve God and to look for ways that he can do his work in and through us. And when we see our lives through God's perspective, submit our plans to him, and a lot of the things that used to be of great importance to us will suddenly seem to be second best when compared with the good things, the far better things that God has for us to do. Then we'll find that our desires for self-fulfillment and personal success look pale and insignificant compared to the tremendous things that God has for us. C.S. Lewis expressed this point very well. He said, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." James doesn't want us to be half-hearted creatures, divided in our affections and so caught up in pursuing our own plans, that we miss the infinite joy God has prepared for us. And according to James, our future is ultimately secured, not by our clever playing, but by our humble submission, our obedience to God, by doing today the good that he has given us to do. Don't carry on making mud pies in a slum when you could be building sandcastles by the sea. I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to settle for second place, to make my mud pies, to avoid doing the many good things that God gives me the opportunity to do. But you know what? It's the coward's way out. It's the easy route. God has given us so much in our lives, but if we had true faith, we would be willing to give it all for God's purposes. We just hope sometimes that he's not keeping count. Just before the death of the comedian W.C. Fields, those of you who are old enough to remember him, a friend visited him in the hospital and was surprised to see him thumbing for a Bible. Asked what he was doing with a Bible, Fields replied, "I'm looking for loopholes." Are you this morning looking for loopholes in your faith? We all need to keep coming back with open hearts and open minds to submit ourselves to God's will, to spend time in his word and commit ourselves to him in prayer. We need to let our Creator and our Redeemer define who we are and to learn day by day to trust God with our future. We need to be prepared to let him transform our plans or even to change our plans so that his purposes might be accomplished in us. I can't tell you what that might look like in your life, what it might be that God is calling for you to do, what he's calling you to change about your life, about the plans you have already made, or how he's intending to use the plans already made for his glory. But I do know that we all need to learn to say what Jesus said when he was facing the prospect of death on a cross. Father, not my will, but yours be done. And the amazing thing is, when we do that, when we do submit ourselves to the Lord, we find that we certainly don't need to worry about our lives and about our future in the same way we did before. We need to remember the God we serve is bigger than us. He's far bigger than any plans we make, and his purposes for us will not fail. The Bible doesn't promise us an easy life or a life free from disappointment or loss, but it does tell us that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, and he has a plan for us that is far better than any we can make on our own. Ask anyone who's given up a week's holiday to help at a Christian camp. The old you will be telling you it's a waste of a week's holiday. But in fact, spending a week with Christians, reading the Bible together, praying together, and sharing a real, meaningful Christian fellowship is like a little glimpse of heaven. So when we look to God for God, so when we look to God for identity, when we trust him with our future and seek to live according to his priorities, the worries about this world, the uncertainties about tomorrow, they disappear. James has reminded us earlier in this letter that we have a loving Heavenly Father who does not change like shifting shadows. It is from him alone that every good and perfect gift comes. So this morning, don't ignore God in your plans. Never boast about yourself. And please do good. Amen.